Commissioner Gilman, are you ready to get started?
Yes, sir.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell, are you ready to get started?
Yes, thank you.
All right, no problem. Thank you, everybody, for being patient. We're going to get back to item number 10. I believe I left off with Commissioner Gilman, so I'm going to ask Commissioner Mitchell if you have any questions or comments about this item.
No, I just want to thank staff for promptly taking care of this. I know it was an oversight. That was just something that didn't hit our radar. And, you know, I want to apologize to those who potentially have been affected by this. And just to confirm that this would be retroactive back to the beginning of the fiscal year, or is it going into effect as of a certain day?
It'll be going into effect as of today.
Okay. Does that put us in a tough situation if we want to make it retroactive in some way? I believe we were retroactive on some of the other pay issues we considered recently.
Jennifer?
Jennifer McCain, for the record, taking Lindsay's feelings out of this. Financially, no, it's we're not talking huge amount of dollars if we make it retroactive. The work that is involved doing that is just the biggest case. So the decision is yours.
Interesting. Are my fellow commissioners comfortable with a proposal like that? And I apologize that it creates more work, but I feel like it was an oversight for our part-time workers. And I feel like to make it right, the right thing to do is to go back to July 1st of this year. And make an adjustment for
me, it would be, I believe it's July 3rd is when it went into effect, the first full pay period of the new fiscal year.
Commissioners, do you mind if I mention one thing in here? Austin Osborne, for the record. What it is in this case is what part-timers are less than part-timers. We used to just pay them flat rate. So you made $12 an hour and you made $12 an hour for 10 years until one day somebody thought of making the change. Not long ago, we adjusted to try to get the part-timers on hourly rate commensurate with the regular full-time positions. So if you're an admin two part-timer, you make the same hourly rate, whether you're part-time or full-time, doesn't matter. Where in the old days, you know, a admin one might make $17.50 as a full-timer and $12 as a part-timer. So the kind of what happened in this case is just as it's morphed, now you have a situation that came into play where PERS does capture, just like Brandy explained, those part full-timers' COLAs on a PERS year, and the part-timers don't have that situation. It was not really an oversight. It was more just, you know, there's things like that as a position in policy grows over time that would need to be captured. And I think Brandy explained it just perfectly, but I just want to make sure this board understands, you know, kind of the background of what led up to this point. Thank you. That's all I have.
Well said.
Thank you, County Manager. Commissioner Mitchell, does that change your request?
No, I mean, I'm not saying a mistake was made. I think it's a growing process, and that's perfectly fine. I just, to me, it feels like, well, I mean, I guess we don't owe anyone this. The benefit was realized by our full-time employees into their PERS contributions starting back in July. And to me, it feels right to match this to that.
So your approach is making it retroactive for the last weeks?
2 months, yeah. Yeah, just so it matches up with when the change happened for everybody else.
And the challenge to us for that in the county is the amount of man hours that we're going to have to invest in order to amend all of the books and everything. There's really not a simple way to approach that, I suppose. Do you have a recommendation for us?
My recommendation.
Well, it kind of falls on your desk at this point, I think.
Jennifer McCain, again, for the record. We discussed this in length, as our county manager had described, and what we proposed was making it, establish it as of today. As a recommendation, this was brought to our attention and we understand what has happened. However, past practice was always that part-timers followed the full-times when we instigated this practice. So I believe that starting it today is still the right thing to do and moving forward.
It would be appropriate to start today and move forward as opposed to going back and redoing all the books and everything for the 5 weeks. I'd be in favor of fall.
Doing a retroactive for a part-time employee is an extremely arduous process because
they don't have,
set schedules. Some of these people might not even work for us anymore. There's a lot of things that go into a retroactive process, so, but part-time.
I would be inclined to follow your recommendation and to go with the current and not make it retroactive.
Comptroller McCrane, Austin Osborne, may I ask, not to put you on the spot, but just roughly speaking, the COLA was 2%. HERS captured that for a month and a half, 2 months, whatever it's been, roughly. What kind of dollars are we talking about?
We're talking minimal dollars. We have, the difference is that the increase was 2%. What people saw in their paychecks was 0.125%. For, depending on the amount of time that people have worked during the last 2 months, it could equate to $70, $100 maybe to them. It's not a lot of money. But that's not also not fair to say, because the individual person, that could be a lot of money. Overall, I would be surprised if we are talking $2,000.
So, Comptroller McCain,
hold me to that.
Comptroller McCain, how many employees are we talking about are impacted currently?
There's 42.
We have 42 part-time employees who work all various schedules. Some of those are just summer, intermittent, seasonal employees. Some are intermittent employees who work all year long.
Okay. All right, thank you for that. Is there any public comment regarding this item? I'm assuming not seeing any in the court. Now, for those folks that do dedicate their time to the county, I think that maybe it would be a good move on our part to make it retroactive as stated. Again, I do realize it creates more work, but looking at it from the employee's perspective, I think that it would mean a little more if we were to give them just that extra bump in you know, what they would not normally get if we made it retroactive today. So that's where I stand at the moment.
Okay.
So if you feel comfortable with a motion, then I would ask that you make that motion.
Very good. I will. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-705, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045. for appointed Story County officials for the 2023-24 fiscal year, and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with the addition of Schedule B for the intermittent less than part-time employees of the county. I further move to make this resolution retroactive to July 3rd of 2023.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor,
a motion. Before you second it, commissioners, there is an addendum brought in front of you. Commissioner Mitchell, you did reference the addendum, so that's good. I just want to make sure the record is very clear that addendum is some minor corrections in the calculation that was provided, that your motion incorporates that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just to be absolutely clear on the motion, the Schedule B addition is the updated version that we were presented with in the meeting that we're adopting.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer and Randy and the rest of you folks for looking into this and for the person that brought this to our attention.
They're probably never going to bring us anything to correct from here on out since we've made so much work for it.
Probably, but again, I do think with the economy the way it is, I think that it is more than just a gesture. So I'm sure that those folks do appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on to I assume you're moving on to discussion item 11.
Yes, I just had some barking dogs that I had to mute out. Sorry about that.
In an abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse from discussing or voting on this particular action as I hold a pecuniary interest in the TRI public-private partnership.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Noted. We're going to move on to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the schedule of project revenue and net revenue for the TRI public-private partnership for fiscal years ending June 2021 and 2022, and the payment of to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC in the amount of $3,666,155. I believe Comptroller McCain is going to take this.
Yes, Jennifer McCain, for the record. I also have Connie Christensen. The auditor is on Zoom if you have any questions for her. This is the audit as stated for period ending June 30th, 2022, which states that our payment for that period is $7,510,000, of which in FY23, we paid approximately $3.8 million. This brings our total current payment, bring us whole up through June 30th, 2022 to approximately $3.7 million. Our budget is $3.5 million, so we're slightly over budget. I'm confident that we can make this whole. Each year, we get a little bit closer in the budgeting process to get closer to how Connie will come up with our payments. So I'm really happy that we're less than $200,000 off from what she calculated. I'd also like to let you know that we have approximately $43.8 million in vouchers. As of June 30th, 2022, we've paid approximately $11.9 million, which brings vouchers due to $31.9 million as of 6/30/2022. With our FY23 payment of $3.8 million, it brings our current approximate total to approximately $28 million. Sorry, I was reading ahead. I would really also like to note that of this amount, 11.9 that we have paid, 8.7 million has been paid in the last 3 years. That only just really proves the point that Commissioner Gilman was talking about earlier of how the Tri-Center has really boosted our economy for Story County and has been such a great thing for our revenue that the people who thought of this years ago really kind of knew what they were talking about. To exemplify that even a little bit further, in the audit, you can see that, where is it? In 2002, our schedule of net projected revenue was only approximately $600,000. Our projected revenue, our projected project revenue this year, 6/30/2022, was $10.8 million. So really just in a span of about 20 years, we have done quite well for ourselves with the forethought of the people who started the park. That's all I have. If you have any specific questions on the audit itself, as I said, Connie is here to answer your questions.
Wonderful. Thank you, Comptroller McCain. Welcome, Connie. I will see if anybody has any questions for you. Commissioner Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments for Connie at this time or the Comptroller?
Just a procedural question for Comptroller McCain. Is this the cycle that's fairly typical for us that we will, as far as how we deal with the payback fund, where we'll make a payment in the fiscal year and then wait for the audit and then square it up, if that makes sense, when that audit comes in about a year later?
Yes, we spent many years trying to catch up. If you go back a few years, Connie had done an audit that covered several years, and we've been really trying to catch up. In my opinion, waiting for our Story County overall external audit to be completed is the best way to move forward with this tri-audit, and then the payment is always made in the current fiscal year that the audit's approved.
Great. One of the questions that I get from our constituents quite a bit is, are we getting anything from the park? And I'm wondering if there's a way to distill down just a few key numbers from this. I know it's not, because it's stipulated agreement, I know it's not everything, mm-hmm. but it might be a good metric that we can share that just says, here's the, based on this, here's the revenue that we received, here's the net that came through after the payments.
Connie can correct me if I'm wrong, but the revenues that are stipulated are specifically TRI revenues. So those increases from 600,000 to the 10 million today, that's the growth of the park, right? Not overall countywide.
Understood. And I just, because it's stipulated that things are included or not included, it may not be exact, but I think it gives us a really good metric.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's a way that we can do that, but I think it'd be very helpful for the voting public to have just a snapshot and kind of say, here's where it started, here's where we are, here's kind of, you know, anyway, distilling out, because there are a lot of numbers for a non-math person like me. And so, and so kind of just getting the essence of it would be really helpful as something that we could share with the people in the county. But thank you. I don't have any other questions. This is great. Thank you both for your work on this.
Thank you for that idea. Look into that.
All right. Thank you again, Commissioner Mitchell, for your question. Connie, unfortunately, I don't have any questions for you either. But hang tight, there may be some from the public. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, I don't see anybody coming forward. So with that said, Connie, before I ask for a motion, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, this is Connie Christensen for the record. I have nothing further to add.
All right, thank you.
If I could say, though, that staff has been very, very accommodating and helpful in doing this each year, and especially getting caught up over the last few years. So I would like to thank everyone for their cooperation and responsiveness. It's greatly appreciated.
It's good to know. Thank you very much, Connie. All right. With that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the schedule of project revenue and net revenue for the TRI public-private partnership for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022, and the payment to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC in the amount of $3,666,155.
There's a motion on the floor. I'm going to second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Comptroller McCain. Thank you, Connie. Very much appreciated. And before we hit item number 12, we're going to welcome back Commissioner Gilman. On to item number 12, this is discussion for possible action. Tax bill correction for 004-101-02, which is Flintstone Properties. NDOT landlocked this property when USA Parkway Interchange was constructed. Other parcels are owned by EP Minerals or Southern Pacific Railroad, so they have access from their contiguous parcels, excuse me. Assessor Seddon, I believe, is going to take this one.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Jana Seddon for the record. Basically, this property, for those of you that know the industrial park, it's the property that I guess used to be a quarry a long time ago. It looks like a lake is on it right now. And it sits in between I-80, EP Minerals, and now our interchange, the USA Parkway interchange. NDOT kept telling us they had legal access to this property. We kept telling the owners of this property that they had legal access. They kept asking us to prove it. We kept looking to NDOT. Kathy Canfield is on. She may be able to give a little bit more information, but there's some verbiage in the NDOT documents that states basically if they do anything that is detrimental to properties, that they are the responsible parties. They have to get to this property, you used to use the frontage road and you would cut underneath the bridge on the north side of the railroad to get to these properties. There's like four properties that sit over there, but as I've said, they're either owned by the railroad or they're owned by EP Minerals. This is the only property that is privately owned. And when they built the interchange, it's the slope of the land underneath the interchange that has cut that access off. So NDOT kept telling us that they could access it. They could access it. And we found out that they were assuming they could access through EP Minerals property, which was Clark Station Road. They obviously didn't do their due diligence to find out that that is not a public road through EP Minerals. That is their private road. And EP Minerals has not granted access to the other property through their property. I believe, and I did verify this with Mr. Kornmeyer, who is the owner of Flintstone's property, this property. NDOT is actively working with him, I believe, to try to purchase this property, but he has asked for a reduction in taxes due to no access. So this is basically what we've come up with. He believes there's no value to this property. However, every property has value. It's just kind of right now until he gets some sort of resolution to this with NDOT, he's having to pay taxes on a property that is not legally accessible. So that's basically the backstory. So if you guys have questions.
Thank you, Assessor Sutton. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, I'm good.
As am I. We'll see if there's any comment from the public. Is there any public comment at this time? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I move to approve the correction of the tax bill for parcel number 004-101-02 owned by Flintstone Properties, LLC, as listed in our packet.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jana, for that. Well, that's getting squared away. On to item number 13. This is discussion only. This is review and discussion of the final contract between Story County and the Abbey Agency as approved during the July 18th, 2023 Board of County Commissioners meeting. I believe Laura Mather is going to be taking this.
I am. Thank you, Laura Mather, for the record. Back on July 18th, when we presented the contract for you to read and approve, there were a couple of things that were left blank. We had to leave those blank until after you guys approved the contract. That was all entered into the contract, finalized and signed, and that contract was included in the packet for your review.
Thank you for that, Laura. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about this agenda item?
I do not.
All right. Thank you, sir. Commissioner Mitchell, anything?
No, other than commenting that, Laura, that description makes it sound like we have to pass this bill to find out what's in it. no, appreciate the work to get this finalized. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you very much. There is no motion on this item. So, again, thank you, Laura, for presenting this item.
Thank you.
All right. On to item number 14. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval to accept a $5,000 donation from Nova Data Centers for the purchase of school supplies for the Story County Sheriff's Office, Stuff the Cop Car event. Laura.
Thank you, Laura Mather, for the record. When the Sheriff's Department first started to get the word out about this event, I reached out to some of my contacts here in Story County. Nova Data Centers, they have a new facility out in the industrial park. It will be Nova Tahoe Reno. The owner contacted me very early on in their relationship with Story County, and it was really clear that they wanted to be a partner with Story County in this new community that they are with. And so I was just thrilled when they responded immediately to our request for donations and very generously donated $5,000 so we can purchase school supplies to probably fill up a couple of cars with that much money.
That's wonderful, Laura. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Again, Laura, thank you for reaching out. It's wonderful that these businesses are willing to help out the county. And I'm assuming that they do know it's Story County, not Washoe County, right?
They do.
Wonderful.
That,
all right.
That was one of our very first conversations is where they're actually located.
Fantastic. All right. With that said, Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the acceptance of a $5,000 donation from Nova Data Centers for the purchase of school supplies for the Story County Sheriff's Office Stuff the Cop Car event.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Right. Motion passes unanimously. All right. On to item number 15, which is to... Thank you, Laura. On to item number 15, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us to item number 16, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of resolution number 23-702, annually updating mitigation rates for the deployment of emergency and non-emergency services by the Story County Fire Protection District for incidents outside of Story County, large-scale hazardous material incidents, motor vehicle accidents, and negligent or criminal fires. Chief Longcar.
Yes, Commissioners, Jeremy Longcar for the record. This is our annual updating of our declared rates. These are just to recap it for the board here. These are the rates which we charge when we send crews out to assist other states in wildland fires. If we send out engines, what that costs us. So we do have to go through this every year and update it because naturally wages continue to go up and inflation makes the equipment more expensive each year. So this is just our update on those rates of what we bill for out-of-county incidents, as well as hazardous materials incidents, MVAs or motor vehicle accidents, and or negligent or criminal fires. So again, I just want to restate this, and I tried to do it every year. This is not a rate in which we charge our average citizens. Your taxes cover that. This is for people outside of our area and for us to recoup the costs that we incur. And I'll answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Chief about this?
I do not, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-702, updating mitigation rates for the deployment of emergency and non-emergency services by the Story County Fire Protection District for incidents outside of Story County, large-scale hazardous materials incidents, special operating, and negligent or criminal fires.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Chief.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 17 is to recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board, bringing us to item number 18, which is discussion for possible action, report of the Public Works Department regarding roads and highways in Story County.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners, Jason Lorsbecky for the record. I just have a couple quick updates here. We are almost finished with Loustown out in the Highlands, shouldering and mowing. Next week, the 11th, Monday the 11th through the 14th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., we will be closing Six Mile Canyon to add some culvert pipe down around the mine pond, take care of some vegetation, and team up with some tree work with the fire department down through the canyon. And then after that, MV Energy and Stericycle is almost complete with the gas line project underneath Electric Avenue. So we're planning on doing a marathon paving at the on Electric Avenue at the intersection of USA on the 15th, 16th, and 17th. That intersection will be fully closed, reopening very early Monday a.m. Detours will be in place down Denmark and Sydney. And then just a quick follow-up. Dal is working pretty well with trying to come up with a drainage plan for down in Mark Twain on Martin Lane, Prospector, and Sutro Springs. That's all I have at this point in time.
Thank you, Director Verspicki. Highway Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jason?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Highway Commissioner Mitchell?
I'm good to go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for that report, Jason.
Thank you.
All right. We're on to item number 19. This is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 20, which is discussion and possible consideration of the board's position responding to the Nevada Governor's Office of Economic Development requesting from Story County a letter of acknowledgement regarding application to the Governor's Office of Economic Development for data center sales and use tax abatements and a data center personal property tax abatement for Nova Reno LLC. I'm also known as Nova Tahoe Reno LLC, planned in Story County. The tax abatements are subject to GOED's approval per NRS 360 as a standard partial abatement for data centers under NRS 360. County Manager Osborne, who's fielding this one?
Mr. Chairman, it's Keith Loomis. If I could go back to item number 18, that's listed as a for discussion and possible action. And I don't think we asked for public comment on that. So we'd have to reconvene as the Highway Board to ask for that and then reconvene as the Board of County Commissioners.
Right. Okay, I will do that. Normally, I think it was an error listing a discussion for possible action because normally the report does not require any action. So that we don't get sued, let us go back to item number 17 to recess to convene as the Story County Board, Story County Highway Board, bringing us to item number 18, which is a report from the Public Works Department. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Okay, I found this on the web for Is There.
Apparently Siri had something to say. Is there any public comment going last time? All right, not seeing any. Again, thank you for that report, Jason. We are going to move on to item number 19, which is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, thus bringing us back to item number 20. Keith, would you like me to reread that entire agenda item?
Not necessary, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. So, County Manager Osborne, who's fielding this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne for the record. If you want, I'll begin.
Please.
Okay. As we talked about in meetings in the past, the Governor's Office of Economic Development issues letters regarding what they call off-the-shelf abatements. These are not like the Gigafactory. They're pretty much any company that meets a certain threshold for investment and a certain threshold for employment gets a certain amount of abatements based on the matrix that you see in the packet. The company Nova Reno, which Governor's Office of Economic Development called NOAA. It is Nova Reno. It is the company that Laura had just discussed in her prior item, which is going to be Nova Reno Tahoe. They invested $237 million. They have a $21 million letter here requesting sales and use tax abatement to the governor's office, $5.7 million in personal property, and nothing mentioned for real property abatements. This equates to roughly a 75% abatement for 10 years. In essence, that's a formula about 98% for sales tax, 75% for personal property tax, like equipment inside the building, and 0% for real property, like the building itself.
In this situation, Governor's Office of Economic Development is asking for a letter of acknowledgement. That is really all that's being asked here. It is not a matter of approval or not approval by the board, but we are invited, of course, to the September meeting as mentioned in the letter if we have any discussion to bring up with the Governor's Office of Economic Development Board. With approval of this board, I will send that letter of acknowledgement or attend the board with whatever this board would like to see said.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell, any questions or comments?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
We do have someone coming forward.
All right. Thank you.
For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County resident. I'm being inquisitive here, not understanding the objectivity of the Governor's Office on Economic Development, why the Symbia full fulfillment services, they get a 50% tax abatement for 4 years on the modified business tax and a use tax abatement and a personal property tax of 50% for 10 years, while NOAA gets a 75% tax abatement over 10 years for sales and use and property tax. I don't know if anybody knows that reason. It would be probably nice to know one of these days what they're trying to think. But anyway, that was my question.
Thank you for your comments, Hugh.
Mr. Commissioners, when you're done with public comment, I'll be happy to answer that question.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioners. Austin Osborne, for the record, that was a good question. These things are not necessarily easy to figure out. If you look at the matrix in the packet, this is a data center abatement under SB1. So data centers get a little bit different formula than the next company, which is another agenda item, Symbia, which is more of a logistics company. They have a different set of abatements allowances. And then the 15, 10, 15, and 20-year abatements are also based off the amount of investment that is made, as well as other factors. In this case, this company has made a certain benchmark for investment, and it's a data company, therefore it translates to this abatement.
Thank you for that explanation, Austin. If not seeing any other public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve to direct county staff to submit a letter to the Governor's Office of Economic Development, or GOED, acknowledging an application for a data center sales and use tax abatement and a data center personal property tax abatement for Nova Reno LLC. Planned in Story County. The tax abatements are subject to GOED approval per NRS 360 as a standard partial abatement for data centers under NRS 360.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that, Austin. Moving on to item number 21. This is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible consideration of the board's position responding to the Nevada Governor's Office of Economic Development, also known as GOED, requesting from Story County a letter of acknowledgement regarding an application to GOED for sales and use tax abatement, modified business tax abatement and personal property tax abatement for Symbia Fulfillment Services of Nevada LLC, planned in Story County. The tax abatements are subject to GOED's approval letter per NRS 360. As a standard partial abatement. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne, for the record. This is a fulfillment company, logistics. It's a very small family-owned company. They're proposing to make a $4 million investment. And so that would translate in the matrix for the Governor's Office of Economic Development for these types of companies making this similar investment. And pretty small number of employees, if I remember in here, would translate to about $122,000 in sales and use tax abatement, $89,000 in personal property tax abatement, and I did not see anything for any real property tax abatement. Roughly in the matrix, this is about a 50% abatement over 10 years. There's some rumor the company may be looking at some other things as well, but this is what we have in front of us. Once again, for GoEd, this is a letter of acknowledgement. If we do have anything to say, we would be able to attend the actual GoEd meeting in September 12th.
Thank you, County Manager. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell?
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment on this item? Not seeing any. Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell, motion to direct county staff to submit a letter to GoEd acknowledging an application for sales and use tax abatement, modified business tax abatement, and personal property tax abatement for Symbia Fulfillment Services of Nevada, LLC, planned in Story County.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 22. This is discussion for possible action. I'm sorry?
There's just some coughing.
Oh, sorry. On to item number 22. This is discussion and possible action to authorize filing of petition for judicial confirmation intended to identify the site where the Mark Twain Community Center is located, is the property of Story County. Deputy DA Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. So for some time now, we've been trying to locate some property that we could present to the National Park Service and to the state parks as a suitable substitution for the park here in Virginia City that has been used by Community Chest. It was restricted to park purposes. The issue of the building being on there does not meet that requirement, and so we are in the process of looking for alternative property. One of the properties, and we looked at a number of them over a couple of years now, but one of them, the most recent one, is the Mark Twain Community Center property, which has a somewhat of a title defect in that back in 1969, when Mr. LaFon actually authorized the creation of a parcel map, in this case, it was a subdivision map for Mark Twain Unit Number 3, one of the parcels on the property is identified solely by the name County, and that's it. There has never been a deed from anyone that had authority over that piece of property to the county, and it's never been formally dedicated to the county through the subdivision map process. And so what we want to do is, one of the things that's available to us is a petition for judicial confirmation to ask the court to confirm that indeed, there is an implied dedication, which is a doctrine that's recognized in both statute and in cases of this property by the fact they identified it as a county. It's been used by the county for the last 30, 40 years for a fire station and now as a community center. There's a reference in some the minutes of a planning commission meeting this wherein it was stated that the Mr. LaFon is giving the property to the county. And there's actually two parcels out there, one on the Lyon County side and one on the Story County side. And he's giving both of those parcels to the counties for county purposes, public purposes. And so what we want to do is file a petition for judicial confirmation, ask the court to recognize that there was an implied dedication, and issue an order stating that this property does indeed belong to the county, which we can then submit to the state and the federal government, say this is suitable property for substitution of the property in Virginia City, and it is owned by the county.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Keith?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments for Keith?
I do not. Thank you.
Wonderful. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the District Attorney's Office to file a petition for judicial confirmation to establish that Story County is the owner of the land on which the Mark Twain Community Center is located.
One second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 23, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible action to approve resolution number 23-704, declaring the intentions of the Board of County Commissioners to lease a portion of its property at 1705 Peru Drive in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center to the State of Nevada for the benefit of the Nevada Highway Patrol for no rent, setting a date and time for a public hearing on the proposed lease and authorized publication of a notice of the hearing. Deputy D.A. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. Yes, this is a requirement under NRS 277.050 that if we're going to engage in the sale or lease of county property with another public agency, we can do that without having to go through an appraisal process or anything of that nature. But what we do have to do is pass a resolution saying we believe it's in the best interest of the county to lease this property. To set a date for a public hearing on at which the public can provide whatever comment they have on whether they think the issue of leasing the property to the state is a good idea or not, and then deciding whether or not to actually approve the lease, which in this case would be a lease to the State of Nevada for the benefit of the Nevada Highway Patrol, which is using the property at on the Peru Avenue, the Peru. Was it 1705 Peru Drive property for some time now, and continuing essentially that process at a zero rent rate for 5 years. The lease is currently in the hands of the State of Nevada Department of Administration. We've asked for some changes, but we'll have those before we get to the public hearing process and have that available for public input and for your own input. This is the date to consider the passage of resolution number 23704, which authorizes the public hearing and the date for the public hearing. And we'll have to publish it in the newspaper.
All right. Thank you very much, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Keith about this item?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution 23-704, the lease of a portion of the county complex at 1705 Peru Drive to the State of Nevada for the benefit of the Nevada Highway Patrol, authorize publication of a notice of a time and date to hold a public hearing on the proposed lease, and set the date and time for the public hearing at 10:30 a.m. on October 3rd, 2023.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Keith. Moving on to item number 24. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through D. Fellow commissioners, have any questions regarding these second readings?
No questions.
No questions.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the second reading of these business licenses? Not seeing any. Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of the business licenses listed under item 24 as A through D.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 25 on today's agenda is public comment. This will be the second and final time public comment will be available during this meeting. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any public comment, we are brought to item number 26, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 1:07 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to ask that you vacate Zoom. We do have a closed session immediately following this meeting.